Prayers, we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace towards us. We thank you that you speak to us through your word, and we pray now that as we turn to your word, you would help us to have open hearts, that we would see more of you, more of ourselves, and ourselves in the light of your greatness and mercy. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, this morning I want to ask us a question. What are you worth? What is a human being worth? Well, what about Jessica Ennis? After her Olympic heptathlon gold yesterday, she must be worth millions of pounds in terms of sponsorship and advertising. She's made for life. What about someone like Sir Alan Sugar, the business magnate? He apparently has a personal fortune of about £770 million. And as a business consultant, he could save or make people a lot of money if his talent and experience are used. Well, what about you? What are you worth? People have sometimes tried to calculate what a person is worth in terms of the materials that make up their body. Brushing up my rusty university chemistry, I discovered that we are largely made up of oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, and nitrogen, with small quantities of phosphorus, potassium, sodium, iron, and tiny amounts of aluminium and arsenic. A government department once calculated that the value of these elements, if they could be separated and sold, would be about 75 pence. If you include the human skin, which apparently has some use and value, an average human body's constituents could be worth as much as £3. Now, when you think of the size of the universe, not only are we not worth much for our chemicals, we seem very insignificant. Do you remember the words in our Bible reading from Psalm 8? That's a great poem or song written by great King David about 3,000 years ago. Psalm 8, page 540. We read this in verse 3. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man? When you look into the night sky and see the vast amount of stars, how important are human beings? Well, I wonder if you know how many stars there are in the universe. Well, if we begin by thinking about the one star that we're all aware of, our sun. The sun, of course, is a huge ball, over 90% of which is hydrogen gas. It's so big, they say that the sun could contain within it 1 million Earths. Now, the sun is only one star in our galaxy. That is the local group of stars, which is usually called the Milky Way. Sometimes you can see that strip of stars in the sky. It's a vast collection of stars, stars like our sun. The Milky Way galaxy contains a huge number of stars. They reckon about 100 billion. And the Milky Way is only one galaxy amongst many. Remember that each galaxy contains about 100 billion stars. I wonder if you know how many galaxies there are thought to be in the universe. Well, apparently they reckon at least 100 billion. That means that to work out the number of stars in the universe, you'd need to multiply 100 billion by another 100 billion. That's an incredibly vast number of stars. King David says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man? What are human beings worth in such an unimaginably vast universe? Well, of course, some have reflected on humanity in the light of the universe and decided that what we humans are simply extremely clever animals, the most intelligent animals on Earth, and so we have come to dominate the planet. Others have thought that we're best considered remarkable biological machines with such complexity that we've worked out how to have such a big influence on Earth. Now, if you believe some people today, they draw the conclusion from those thoughts that this means that we are all merely the result of blind chance and have no ultimate purpose or significance. So what are we worth? Well, our psalm shows that in fact we all have, whoever we are or whatever we are, great value. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Do you see what this means? We are not the result merely of blind chance. We are made by God. We are not just amazing animals. We are not just complex biological machines. We are cared for by God. God holds each human being in his mind. He holds us there as someone special, someone valuable. And that means we are of real significance. We matter because we matter to God. Of course, this is extremely important. It means that human beings matter whoever we are. We matter even if we don't have the opportunity to make money or to perform well or to make much of a contribution to society. We matter because we matter to God. Everyone matters, even if we are ill or disabled, very old and infirm, or very young and totally helpless. And this is very important in our contemporary debates about the ethics of the beginning and end of life. If we don't have value because we've been made special to God, but we are merely super intelligent animals, well, when our usefulness is questioned, are we important enough to be protected and supported? Especially if the costs in money and time are significant. Well, what David speaks of here is called elsewhere in the Bible being made in the image of God. We matter because we have been made a little bit like God. In some ways, we human beings reflect something of him. Verse 5 in the psalm. Yet you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him, that is human beings, mankind, with glory and honor. Now do you remember how the psalm began? Verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. So that which describes God, who he really is, his glory, his greatness, his majesty, is seen in some ways in what he has made, and especially in us, human beings, who are the crown of his creation. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You see, we are very valuable and significant because we've been made in the image of God. But what does that involve? Well, God has given us responsibility to look after the world with him. Verse 6, you have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. Made in God's image, we are to responsibly rule the world with and for God. And that gives meaning and significance to life, particularly to our daily work. Work can often feel like grind at times, but when we have a different, more positive perspective on it, when we remember that we're made in the image of God, well, then our work is in some sense a reflection of him, the ultimate worker, the maker and ruler of the world. And it is also the reason why we are to respect the world that God has made, the environment around us, and to use the world's resources responsibly. We're made by God to be good stewards of the world that he has made. Now, when the Bible speaks about being made in the image of God elsewhere, we're reminded that we're not just to responsibly rule the earth, but we are also to do it together with others in relationships. Human beings are the image of God when the different parts of humanity, men and women, work together, when they relate together in families, at work, and in society. And what a reminder this is of the great dignity, value, and significance we human beings have. We all matter to God because we have been made a little bit like Him. But we all know as well, of course, if we're honest, that there's something more about us human beings. Just a cursory glance at the news reminds us every single day. Whether it's civil war in Syria, drug abuse, terrorism arrests, pollution, murder investigations, industrial disputes, damaged relationships. We human beings are made in God's image, but we are broken images of God. Another psalm, just a few on in the collection of psalms, number 14, puts it like this. The Lord looks down on from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. The sad reality is that we've all turned away from God, and that spoils our connection with Him. It affects our connections with other people. It means we are broken in our humanity and only partly reflect God's image. Now, of course, we don't really like to admit this, but knowing it helps us in our lives. It is the reason why we are such a mixture. We human beings are good and we are bad. We are capable of great things, feats of mind and body as we're celebrating at the Olympics, and great acts of kindness and caring. But at the same time, we're capable of cheating, of hurting others, of being very selfish and unloving. Next week is the 350th anniversary of the death of one of Europe's greatest minds, the French mathematician Blaise Pascal. He once said, "Human beings are the glory and the scandal of the universe." Humanity is capable of much that is great and much that is bad. And knowing that that is the reality helps us to live in this world in a way that helps us to retain our sanity. It is certainly never not always easy, but we understand what we human beings are like. We can understand ourselves better when we grasp that that is the case. It reminds us that we need to be taught right from wrong. It's the reason why we need laws to hold back the bad in us and to encourage the good. It helps us indeed to understand ourselves and one another. But knowing it also points us to the reason that this great Old Testament psalm is mentioned in the New Testament as well. Some 1,000 years after it was written, in the letter to the Hebrew Christians, the writer says, "It has been testified somewhere," he can't quite remember where it is, but it's Psalm 8, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet." And then he adds, "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." You see, Jesus is the ultimate human being. He is the perfect, unbroken image of God because he never turned away from God. And Jesus is crowned with glory and honor, especially because he suffered on the cross and died for a purpose on behalf of others. Jesus' death was, as Hebrews says in its first chapter, in order to make purification for sins. So when we come to him, all our brokenness can be forgiven through his death. We can be reconnected to God as our loving Heavenly Father. And through the work of God's Holy Spirit, we can be restored more and more into the image of God, living life as an adventure with him. And that, of course, is our focus as we share bread and wine this morning in Holy Communion. So if you want to know what we're worth, we must look at Jesus. Jesus, who valued people so much, he died for them. dying to bring reconnection to God and to begin mending the broken image of God within us all. So how much are you worth? Well, our psalm shows us that we are worth far more than £3 for our body's chemicals. And you don't have to be a Jess Ennis or an Alan Sugar to have value. In a vast universe, we are still very important and significant. And that is because we've been made by God to rule the world and relate together. We matter because we matter to God. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. And we see this value most of all in Jesus, who fulfills those words as he died and rose again. So that even though we've turned away from God, we can be reconnected to him. And his image in us can begin to be restored. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great kindness and love towards us. We thank you that you have made us in your image to be a little bit like you, to reflect you in some ways. And we thank you for Jesus, the perfect image of God. And we ask that by your grace you would work in us, that we might know more of your grace in him, that your image would be more and more restored in us, that we would point others to him. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.